From selling precision technology to traveling and flying planes, Mike Hofer of Park Farms really does it all. Hear from Mike, one of our very first Ag Leader dealers, and his journey with Ag Computer Systems. Welcome to Ag Leader, the podcast. I'm your host, Russ Moorman. In celebration of Ag Leader's 30th anniversary, I'm here to bring you a limited edition series about the evolution of agriculture and Ag Leader. Ag Leader has been and continues to be an industry-leading innovator in the precision ag sector. We provide a complete line of top-tier products designed and tested to help growers plan, plant, apply, and harvest more efficiently and effectively. Our products are backed by a full technical support team and a commitment to quality unmatched in the industry. Thanks for joining me today, Mike, on this week's episode of the Ag Leader Podcast. I want to take a little bit of time and talk about Park Farms and kind of the history of Park Farms, how you came to be, how your dad got everything started. And if I'm not mistaken, first of all, you're located in DeWitt, Iowa. And if I remember correctly, you guys got started in 1982. So if that's right, that's very early on in the computing system. So give me a little background. Give everybody a little background as to how Park Farms came to be. And more importantly, as I just remembered, what Park Farms stands for, because I'd forgotten that's an acronym.
Yep. Park Farms, an acronym for Paul, Art, Rick, and Ken. So Paul was my grandfather, Art and Rick are uncles, and then Ken was my dad. And so they actually started that corporation in the late 70s on the farming side.
Okay.
And just kind of carried that on through there. So
then what happened in 1981 that your dad was like, hey, in 1982, I'm going to start this computer thing? I mean, again, I was playing an Atari 2600 in 1982, so that was pretty early on.
Yep. So there was a startup company called FMS. It was Farm Management Systems.
Yep.
They created an accounting software program for farmers, an ag accounting program. And they were trying to get started, and so they actually brought my dad a computer and the software program and said, here, run it for a year for free and see if you like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he ran it for a year. He liked it enough that he bought into the company, and he was one of four owners in that startup company. So from there on, he started selling farm accounting software in the 80s.
Yep.
Well, at that time, there were no big box, no Best Buys that sold computers. So he had to sell the computer along with the software program because nobody had a computer at home at that time. So he kind of self-taught himself how to fix computers and repair computers and set them up in order to sell the accounting software.
Okay.
And it just kind of, it grew from there. And kind of fast forward to the late 80s and kind of like 90, 91, 92, we were looking on other things on the agricultural side. There was another company that was trying to develop a yield monitor in the early 90s, and we tried it in our combine, I think in 92.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work. And then in the winter of 92, 93, that's right after Al Meyer got started with Ag Leader, and
Dad
ran into him at a trade show.
Was it Quad City Show or was it Des Moines Show?
I think it was the Quad City Show. Then they saw him again out at the Des Moines Show. And they sat down and talked, and then the rest is history. It became a dealer, and away we went.
So let's see, when you guys first started, was Don Letary on board yet as the territory manager?
At that time was not on board yet. That was, I think, a year or two later.
I always remember, tell me if I'm right on this, Don would come out and visit, and when he was leaving, he would just turn around and look, go, all right, now, just go out and sell something.
Sell something. Yep, sell something. On the way out the door, sell something.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that guy. Holy cow. I mean, I think Don was either in his mid 70s or even 80 when I met him back in 97. And listen to his stories of, you know, being a salesman is just incredible. That was something else. So, okay. So, 93, your dad meets with Al and becomes a you guys become an ag leader dealer. And I went back, actually, I had Mark, the Super Excel guy, go back and look. And of all active dealers, you guys are number 7 as far as chronological. So that is early. And so talk about a little bit of the beginning with Ag Leader. Of course, it was just a yield monitor system at that time, the YM2000. You know, give a little background how you guys got started and really kind of helped pioneer this whole thing.
Yeah, so in the spring of 93, right when this was all happening, I got done with college and just moved home that spring to start farming. And so yep. I had no idea what I was getting into. So I was really on board that first summer of doing installs on combines and doing ours first and then learning on the other one. So I was kind of riding on that ground floor as a young kid that didn't know anything. Doesn't know anything. But yeah, it was interesting. I remember thinking, man, this is pretty complicated, this YM2000. You know, at the time when it first came out, this is pretty neat.
Yep.
Pretty high tech, and it just kind of grew from there. I mean, really fast.
Well, yeah, you think about the differences between then and now, even as it relates to computers, you had DOS and you had all these command prompt things. Same thing with that 2000. It was just some words printed on some buttons and you had to press one button 6 or 7 times to get to where you needed to go. You had a simple little 2-line layout, you know, but really that yield monitor technology, a lot of it is still used today. And, you know, it's 30 years later. I think my first recollections of you guys were probably through some of the dealer meetings or even having a lot of fun at the Quad Cities Farm Show and going to meet Leo at Bass Street Chop House, right? Which is now defunct. I couldn't believe that when I heard that. And that was always quite a bit of fun. So a typical day for Mike, you're in the office at 6:30 in the morning, I hear.
Most days I'm out here by 6:30. Yeah. Probably my most productive time.
You don't have a real far way to go from your house to the office.
About 100 feet. Yeah. Not too far. So my commute is not real long. I like the early mornings, catching up on stuff in the day before, emails, just getting my day started before anybody else gets here.
Yep.
Typical day. We also farm, so depending on the time of year, on whether I'm in the office a lot or outside, kind of depends on what we have going on the farm too.
So now give a little description. I know I have a relatively good idea, but what all is on the farm? You guys row crop animals. What all are you doing?
Yeah, we custom feed hogs. We have row crop corn and beans. We used to farrow finish ourselves, but late 90s, we got out of that and started custom feeding.
Yep.
So we don't have to do a lot on the custom feeding side anymore. The company we feed for does the daily chores.
Okay.
So that kind of frees me up a little more for the precision side of it.
All right. Yeah, I'd forgotten about the custom stuff. That makes life a little bit easier when somebody can come and do that for you. So
it does.
So now, all right. So you said you came directly from school, from college, right into going back to the farm. Where did you go to school at and what's your degree in?
It was ag production from Kirkwood.
Okay.
So I ended up with a 2-year degree out of Kirkwood for ag production. That's nothing. Precision ag didn't exist back then. So
I graduated Iowa State in 97. Yeah. So a year or two after you got out of Kirkwood. And at that point in time, precision ag was about 2 minutes in an agronomy class. I mean, it was very rudimentary. So, and now there are whole buildings that are nothing but precision ag. It's definitely come a long way. So you had made mention that you know, you thought, boy, this is kind of a complicated install. What have been, you know, like I said, you've been around since the beginning, have been some of the biggest milestones in precision ag that you can think of over the past 30 years?
Well, obviously the yield monitor for sure. That started it all off.
Oh yeah.
And I think the next thing after that was AutoSwap. When the Insight came out and AutoSwap, just the possibilities of what we could hook that to. You know, at the time, everybody was thinking sprayer. And then my dad at the time was forward thinking on that and was thinking planter. So we had some of the first rigged up the AutoSwap liquid to work on the planter.
You know what? I actually think I remember that you guys doing that.
It was, we had True Count before they got bought out by Trimble. They made the big Conzer clutches. And so we rigged up a jack shaft and made our planter four sections and fake putting on liquid and ran relays over to these clutches. And it was quite the collaboration of stuff.
It's kind of amazing now how, you know, we've gone from doing that to the electric clutches, electric drives, the full, you know, full high speed delivery system. That stuff has just evolved, and it seems to be evolving exponentially faster as the technology's there to do it. It's definitely been a ton of fun to be around, you know, being a gadget guy myself, and just really enjoying how this is going, and you know, who knows where is it going to go in the future. I guess that's my next question. Where do you see Precision Ag at the next 5 or even 10 years?
It's hard to imagine where it can go, because I mean, the old saying, technology breeds more technology, and that's
exactly
true, as it just, where it might have taken, you know, 10 years or whatever it was to develop the yield monitor. Now you have that technology, the next step always comes quicker. It just comes faster and faster and faster. You know, obviously everybody's eyes are on autonomy. That's around the corner, but I think that's a bigger hurdle than most people think. I mean, the technology's there. It's just getting everything in line to make it all feasible.
Yep. I mean, plus there's a lot of liability there as well.
A lot of liability stuff.
A lot of lawyering.
Yep. But you know, autonomy, I'm sure, is around the corner. You know, everybody thinks, how more precise can we get with everything we're doing? I think it's going to even get more precise.
Yep.
With fertilizer application and just everything is just going to be more and more down to the nitty gritty.
I think that's true. I love asking people where they think it's going to be in 5 years. Shoot, I couldn't tell you where this is going to be in 6 months. A lot of times, like you said, it's exponentially advancing faster and faster as we go. You know, we've gone from having just a yield monitor when I started to adding GPS to doing, like you said, application control, to having more of a full farm solution. And how do you imagine having an option for a full farm solution affects the guys that look to you for advice and to be buying equipment? You know, when you're able to come in with something that isn't just a steering system or isn't just a yield monitor, when you're talking to a potential customer or a customer you've had for a while about a full farm solution, how do you address that?
Well, it always comes down to your return on investment. Is it going to make them money?
Yep.
You know, for years when steering first came out, it was more of they viewed it as a luxury item, not a return on investment or anything like that to make life easier or help your operation. So when you can package everything together and show them the return on electric drives and steering and your monitors communicating with the cloud in real time and how just logistics, how it could help with everything on your farm, with the whole farm package, that just makes that an easier sell. And they view it easier too. They can see the whole picture rather than just a single part of it.
You bet. Yeah, that's a big part of it. I can remember, I don't hear it anymore, but I can remember here, oh, this is just a guidance system. I can steer on my own, or I don't need to do any of this. This isn't what, you know, grandpa did. To now, where any bit of it has a hiccup, man, it's near on full panic just because the stuff, it's a useful tool. It's not only efficiency, but at the end of the day, even just something as simple as, man, my shoulders don't hurt as bad as they did. You know, I've got something that makes my life easier and either makes me money or makes me more efficient, which I guess, you know, maybe could be even one and the same. So I recall you guys were one of our first master service dealers. And of course you guys are a Blue Delta dealer, and, you know, having been at your guys' location, I know that you guys do everything from training to installs to everything. You know, how do you use your guys' building with the training center and everything to help take the Ag Leader customer experience to the next level?
Yeah, we do two major trainings a year, one right before spring and then another one right before fall. And we go over all the button pushes, ins and outs, you know, pre-check on the planters, pre-check on the combines, just to get guys' mind back in either planting mode or harvest mode.
Yep.
And refreshing their memory year to year on what needs to be done. You know, and at those times too, where they all bring their monitors, we make sure everything's updated. We got the latest versions on the firmware, and we talk about what happens in the updates, what new features they have, and we go over them right in the class. They may not always remember when they get to the field how to do something we talked about, but they remember they could do it. So they may call us and say, hey, you talked about this class, how refresh my memory, how to do it.
Yeah, you know, I think that's as good as anything. Remember that you can do it, regardless whether you remember how to do it.
Right. And I think a lot of that, customers, there's so many features that customers don't use.
Yeah.
You know, different guidance patterns and how to control the grouping of them. And it makes life so much easier if you use it. Well, if you don't talk about it and walk them through it and remind them that they can do it, they never will.
Yep. Yeah. Even at home, you know, heck, I've worked here for 25 years, and then I'll go and go, oh, I forgot we can do X, Y, and Z. And it's, you know, if I wasn't in front of it all the time, well, there's no way I could expect myself to remember that. So those refresher courses, that's definitely a big value added. So now let's sidestep a little bit of Ag Leader stuff. So when you're not farming, when you're not supporting Ag Leader customers and just being the best dealer that you can possibly be, what do you do for fun?
Well, it's changed over the years.
Well, yeah, it does with me too.
Yeah.
A lot less jail time anymore, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. That might not be fun, but getting there probably was. But used to do a lot of fishing and camping. Haven't done that for quite a few years, but a lot of my free time coaching high school basketball. So in season, that takes up a lot of time.
Yes, it does.
And then postseason, you know, we still have stuff we do with the kids in the off season. So that's kind of my getaway, you know, either open gyms or do some summer leagues, that kind of stuff. So I really enjoy that. That's kind of my free time, my getaway, and my stress reliever. Some people would say, how is that a stress reliever? But it is. It's different than what you're doing every day.
Well, that's true. Yeah. And I think the same things could be said for me. Like, I spent a good portion of the weekend putting a trailer brake controller in a 45-year-old Ford truck. And that doesn't always constitute relaxation, but it was something different than what I do on a day-to-day. So it's not so bad. So folks listening aren't going to know this, but we had you fill out some questions, and I'm very curious about this one. Any profession for a day, you picked pilot. So I've got to know, have you always been... Let me give a little background as to why this fascinates me. I'm an absolute fanatic fan of history, including like World War II aircraft and any of that, any of those sort of things. So how did that become your answer, where if you could do one thing for one day, no matter what it was, it'd be pilot?
I enjoy, we've got a neighbor that has a small plane. I've been up with him a few times flying. I've driven a helicopter before, you know, doing some sightseeing stuff in different parts of the country. And I like that. If I could do it for one day and without having to put in the months and years of training to do it.
There's been a last week or two, there have been a lot of crop spraying going on via aerial application around home, and just you hear that thing going buzzing over, and it's like, you know what, that I'm sure that somebody that does it would say, well, don't forget about all these other things I got to do. But at least the point where you're in the plane applying would certainly be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. So
I don't think I want to do the paperwork or anything like that, but the flying part of it would be a lot of fun. So
just the adrenaline.
Yeah. I mean, you buzz down and then you got to fly right back up again. In fact, I was actually over at mom's out walking around with her dog, and he was applying just to the north and got what I thought was relatively close to me. And I was like, oh, well, so it was pretty neat. I'm fascinated with aircraft as well. And, you know, I think for me, a big part of it is just the historical aspect of it, but I can definitely get on board with any profession for a day, a pilot. So hopefully now, again, hopefully you're maintaining the head of Park Farms for years to come yet. But when you finally decide to hang it up, I hear you want to travel a bit more. Unpack that for me, because I can get on board with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to see the world, things I haven't seen. You know, you read about places, and I enjoy going to, when we go on vacation, we never go to the same spot twice.
Yep.
See something different. You hear people, they go to the same spot every year. I don't want to do that. I want to venture out and explore. I like seeing new things.
So what would be, give me two or three bucket list places that you want to go and why?
Alaska would probably be my number one.
Why Alaska?
The outdoors. I love the outdoors. Obviously go there in the summer, not the wintertime. I'd love to go on an elk hunt or something like that up in Alaska.
Yeah, that would be neat.
That would be love to do that. Better go fishing up there. That'd be great. Just seeing the outdoors up there in Alaska. Overseas, go over to, you know, Germany, Norway, Sweden, those places.
My bucket list includes Normandy, you know, maybe Ireland and Scotland, just to kind of travel the farms and stay off the touristy stuff.
Yep.
You know, one of the things domestically I would love to do is, and I've anybody that knows me has heard me tell this story, take a map of North America, throw a dart somewhere, and then make like a 2-week trip in an old car. You know, just make 200 miles a day, great. You make 400 miles a day, great. And it would even be fun to stay in some old, well, I should qualify this, some well-maintained roadside hotels. I don't want to be murdered in one of those. In fact, I was watching some stuff the other day about Route 66, and I'm like, man, that would be fun to travel Route 66. And a lot of it's interstate now, but a lot of it in the Southwest is still original roads. So yeah, I could definitely get on board with some of the European travel, and you know, that would be a lot of fun. So all right, so we talked about predicting the future for Ag Leader. Giving away any trade secrets, give me the 5 or 10 year Park Farms business plan. Where do you want to be?
So probably in that 5 to 10 year, probably obviously we've been doing this for 29 years now. hopefully that continues on like we're doing and expanding on that portfolio that Ag Leader has to offer. That's been a huge part of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see that continuing forward.
I think that's pretty good. I like that. So, well, anyway, Mike, I do want to say thank you for joining us today and taking a little time to look back and reflect. Like I said, you and I have known each other for probably close to 25 years, and certainly had a lot of fun. Had considered you a friend of mine. If somebody wanted to get a hold, see you guys online. What's your guys' website? Do you have a YouTube or a Facebook page? How do they find you online?
Yep. parkfarmscomputer.com is our website. Facebook, same thing, Park Farms Computer on the Facebook.
Nice and easy.
Yep, nice and easy. So contact us anytime. That'll be fine.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike. And we will talk in with you later, I'm sure. Thank you for spending a little time with me today.
All right. Thanks, Russ. Thank you very much.
Be sure to follow us on social media at AgLeader on Facebook and Twitter and at AgLeader Tech on Instagram for more episode postings and updates. Be sure to visit agleader.com/podcast giveaway to enter our contest. We will be giving away a metal farm sign customized with the name and operation of one of our lucky listeners. That's right, we're not above bribing you to listen. Winners will be chosen and contacted 1 week after each episode release. Thanks for listening today to the AgLeader Podcast.